just check the volume. I think it's okay. Hari Om. I think it's little loud,
okay.
Just little less. Hari Om. I think that's good. Sahanavavatu, sahano bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Vakratunda mahakaya, suryakoti samaprabha. Nirvignam kurume deva sarvakaryeshu sarvada saraswati namastubhyam varade kamarupini vidyarambham karishyami siddhir bhavatu me sada gurur brahma gurur vishnu gurur devo maheshwarah Gururewa param brahma tasmai shri gurave namaha sada shiva samarambham shankaracharya madhyamam asmadacharya paryantam vande guru paramparam shruti smruti purananam alayam karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Padam Shankaram Loka Shankaram Samasta Janakalyane Niratam Karunamayam Namami Chinmayam Devam Satgurum Brahma Vidvaram. Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudhamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Rakshati Dukrun Karane, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam bhaj moodhamate moodha jahi hi dhanagam trushnam Together. Kuru sad buddhim manasi vitrushnam Yallabhase nija karmopattam Vittam tena vinodaya chittam Bhaja Govindam Govindam bhaja moodhamate Samprapte sannihite kale nahi rakshati dukrun karane. There was once upon a time a man who was running after a dog. And he had a stick in his hand, and as he was running, he was trying to drive that dog away. And he came to one street, and there he saw a sadhu sitting by this curbside. And the sadhu says to this man, "Why are you hitting your father?" Telling this man, "Why are you hitting your father?" So he says, "What nonsense you're talking about? He's not my father, he's a dog." He says, "No, no, he's not a dog, he's your father." He says, "How do you say that he's my father?" He says, "I'll tell you. Does this dog come straight inside your house when your door is open?" He says, "Yeah, how do you know that?" "Wait, wait. Does, when he comes inside the house, does he come and just sits on this, the chakki, the grinder where you grind grains with hand? If you have seen it, he used that. That is that chakki. So he comes and sits on this grinder." Says, "Yeah, exactly he does. And that's why I'm driving him out. He is becoming a nuisance." Says, "He is your father from previous birth. And have you wondered why he comes and sits on this grindstone?" Says, "No, I have no idea." Says, "Why don't you dig up this place and then you will find something." So he digs up the place where the grindstone was kept, and he finds that there's a buried treasure. And then he comes to recognize that this was all the treasure that his father had kept. Everybody would keep saying that, his father has left all this treasure, but nobody figured out where it was. So this sadhu told him that he has been trying to protect this wealth from everybody. So now his one life meant, even in his dog life, he wants to protect that wealth. So this poor man asked, "Well, what should I do? I don't want this guy to keep coming again and again, the dog." So he asks the saint, "What should I do?" He says, "Use that wealth for charity. Give it away in charity. Give it for some auspicious work. And that will give him peace." And that's what he did. So what we were seeing last week is that dhanagama trishnam, this desire for having more wealth, desire for keeping wealth, that desire is very hard to go. And for some, even generations go and still you want to protect that same thing. And we were seeing why it is so strong. Why is this desire for keeping this wealth so strong for us? What does this wealth really do? So it gives us pleasure. We can purchase pleasure with the wealth that we have, which we can easily understand. To drink water is one thing, but then to say, "No, no, I want lemon juice. Not only that lemon juice, I want lemon juice mixed with some Coca-Cola." I don't know if that kind of works. But different taste, I guess. So that is what luxury is. That I want to enjoy different taste, enjoy different kind of sensations for my senses. And wealth can get that for me. If I have no wealth, any place I go, I will at least get water. But if I want more, then I have to work. I have to get some money. So again, it is easy to make that strong. One gets respect when wealth is there. Even the distant relative who did not ever want to see you comes to know you have won a lottery. will forget all the troubles. Say, I am so sorry. Did I ever cause you problem? I did not mean to cause any problem for you. And we'll start giving so much respect that we ever thought, oh, oh, oh. So this is what wealth gets us. It nourishes our ego. We feel that I have accomplished something. Everybody in this world is running after this wealth. And when we have it in front of us, we feel great. I have achieved something. This is what the world is after, and I have it in my hand. So who wouldn't feel that their ego is not boosted? Everybody would, anybody would. Wealth does this. Security is provided. One gets the sense of, I will be protected in my old age. Or this wealth will get me health insurance that I want. So that's why Obama came with Obamacare. You don't even have to have wealth. But it provides security for future life, or for calamity, for some trouble, for some downturn in life. This much we've seen. Few more are there. Nowadays, if you look at it, people consider success when they have money. You ask somebody who is successful, they'll say Bill Gates is successful. You ask them about success, they'll say these basketball players, football player, baseball player, these businessmen, these corporations, they are successful because they have earned wealth. The vision has changed for success. So, when one attains fame through wealth, that desire grows stronger. I feel that if everybody is mad about this, I have it. My name is there now. Oh, I will give you for that cause. You're running a charity? Sure, I will give it to you. But please make sure that my name goes on it. I want everybody to know that I gave something. Want that name to last. If you think about it, in this world, everything we have to leave behind, the body, the jiva, everything, all the attachment and all the possessions and all our belongings have to stay here. Nothing goes. And it is lost. But one thing that remains even permanent after that is the name, the legacy, the glory. Such a person had did this, this, this. We still now remember Mahatma Gandhi. Call him Mahatma. Because of what he has done, that name is going to be marked in the history forever. 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna came. Few more thousand years ago, Lord Rama came. Still their name is so glorious. They attained glory for different reason. We want to have that same glory, but through the means of wealth. That is where it makes us stronger, that desire. Show power. If I have 51% of stock in a company, I can make decisions. I can weed out all those other smaller investors. So your decisions don't make sense. I make sense because I'm holding more 51% of shares. Even though my decisions are ridiculous, I can show that power. That is what wealth can give. Some then also keep the wealth with the thought that they want to leave it for their next generation, their heirs, children, children's children. So if I don't leave it, then you know they'll keep cursing me for the rest of their life. Why do I want to do that? So I'll leave it for them. So some then save wealth for their future generations. And the greatest reason why the desire is so strong is that wealth, even if it is little, is not enough. That little bit, if one gets, they will never think that that is enough. You know, if think about it, that you earned a lottery and you won $56 million. What will you do? Most will go and invest in the bank so then they can earn interest on it to get more out of it. That which we earned is not enough, so we want to get more out of it, right? So that idea of this much I have is also not enough. I want more on that. This is what wealth is, that it never will satisfy us where we will think, okay, I got this much, I am done. No more now search for wealth. That lobha is there, that desire is there. That's why we continue this way. There was one man who was first time going to city. And he didn't know any rules of the city or anything, what happens, what not. So one man, his friend, informed him that when you go to the city, you should bargain well. Because those people, they mark up their values 100%. So you will be paying double at all times. So make sure you bargain well and you get a good deal. So that thought was in this person's mind. He said, no worries, I got it now. I know what to do when I go there. So he goes to a shop looking for an umbrella. Wants an umbrella. So asks this man, how much is the umbrella? Early in the morning, he goes, first client. So this man is very pleased. You know, first client came. I will give him good deal. He says, $60, sir. $60? No, no. That's too much. If you're going to give it to me in $30, then I will buy. He says, 30? You're cutting down half. He says, that's what I've heard. These, you know, umbrella, they only cost about 30. You're marking up your prices. He says, be reasonable, come on. He says, no, no, I am not. You're giving in 30, I will take, otherwise I'm leaving. And he starts walking. And the shopkeeper starts to think. First client, so for $30. Fine, I'll give it to him. Maybe I'll make more in the other sale. He says, calls him. Sir, please come. You can have it for $30. Ah, see, I knew. If you're willing to give it for 30, I will take it for 15. Says, you must be out of your mind, the shopkeeper tells him. You must be out of your mind that I'll give it to you for 15. I'm not making any profit on it anymore. This is not even my cost. I'm cutting down from my cost now to give it to you. Says, if you won't give, I will go to other shopkeeper and then take it. It is up to you. So this man says, and he walks. Shopkeeper tells him, please come. I'm willing to give you for 15. He says, if you are coming down for 15, that must mean that this umbrella only costs $7.50. If you're willing to give me for $7.50, I will buy. So this man is really furious. He says, now if you come here again, ever in my shop, I'm not giving it to you at all. Get out of here. Like that, the shopkeeper tells and says to this man. You know, a thought comes to his mind. My first client, if I'm rude to that person like this, that's not good for business. And then, you know, he will go and tell so many people. So he says, "Sir, please come. You can have it for $7.50. So this man comes, says, "If you're willing to go for 7.50, I think this should cost me $3.25 or whatever, half of that." He says, "Why don't you just take it for free? I'm just going to give it to you." Like that, he's really irritated with this guy and says, "Just take it for free." So this man says, "I will take 2 then." That desire, when something is free, something is just there, it doesn't go away so easily. And we want to have more and more of it. Wealth is like that. When we have it, before we have it, it seems so big. There is so much. Once we have it, at that time it feels very less. If I had little more, I think my purposes would have been served. This is why those who feel that all of these are the reason to have wealth, is what Adi Shankaracharya ji is saying, are mudha. These are not the reasons to have wealth. Because if you look at any of these reasons or these desires, they are rooted in sorrow. You can enjoy pleasure, fine. But that pleasure is temporary. The next moment after the pleasure, what happens? You're sorrowful. You get respect, but only for that time period. Once you lose that wealth, your respect is also gone. It nourishes our ego. Again, a false thing that it is nourishing. So all of these reasons that we see, it makes us think that the wealth is giving us happiness. And that is what a foolish person thinks, that wealth gives them happiness. And this is why Adi Shankaracharya ji is saying that you give up this desire for wealth because wealth cannot give us happiness. The ultimate purpose that we think we will gain out of this wealth of happiness will never be achieved. More so, we will be worried about protecting the wealth if more comes. So fear came, anxiety came. Those who don't have anything, they are free, they are not worried at all. Whatever comes is God's will. And whatever goes was never mine to begin with. With this understanding, one should see wealth. So then, when this wealth is there, what should one do? Kuru sadbuddhim manasi vitrishnam. Manasi, in the mind, kuru sadbuddhim. Create proper understanding, which will make the mind peaceful. Vitrishnam means, trishna means desire. Vitrishna means opposite of desire, no desire. When there is no desire, mind is peaceful. So, create a proper understanding about the wealth which will make the mind peaceful. So, what is the proper understanding to be had? And Adi Shankaracharya ji uses the word sadbuddhim. Buddhim we already have. Anybody in this planet you take, a human being, all have buddhi. And they can use that buddhi for different purposes. And one can be equally intelligent than the other. There was one interesting incident that I heard. Engineers were there. They had a spring type of metal wire that they had. It was like about 10 feet long. So it was that wire like that, coiled, and they had to pass another wire through it. But that wire was very elastic. It wasn't, it wasn't stout. So you can't just push it. So they were trying to figure out, what to do, how to make this pass through this. And they were thinking, how to do this? Then from that place, one unemployed person, just have no knowledge, just an illiterate person, was walking by, not minding his business, just trying to see what is happening. He says and comes, "Sir, what is happening here? What are you doing?" He says, "Nothing, you can continue with your own work. We're just trying to figure out a problem." He says, "Can I help you with something?" "You never know, I may give you some suggestions." He says, "These are all intellectual people. You won't be able to understand. This is engineering stuff that we're doing. You won't be able to understand." He says, "You never know, you give it a try. What is your problem? You tell me and maybe I'll give you some idea." So like that he tells. So he says, "You see, this flimsy wire, we have to pass through this coil to the other end. But we are trying to think how we will do, because we can't just let it go like that." So this man says, "Oh, this is it? A very simple problem and a very simple solution to this." He goes, comes back in a few minutes. He brings a small mouse, ties that wire to the tail, says, "Now let the mouse run through that coil." It comes out on the other end. "Your work is done." Everybody is astonished. "What is this guy? We never thought of this idea, but this man thought about the idea." I mean, they are engineers, they would have figured out some other way to do it. But, buddhi he used, and he gave some idea that seemed very genius. So we can have buddhi for many, many different things. And for us, buddhi, when it comes to worldly things, runs really well. It runs like superhuman, super than a computer. So like that, there is another incident. There was one boy who had gone abroad to study. Father's, mother's wish that son should study, get educated, become, a great person. So they sent him abroad. The boy studied. Now he is coming back. Mother is very excited. Father, he's excited, but he's not showing that enthusiasm. He's also expecting that, son will come, will now help in business. So mother is really excited. They all come to the airport. The boy is coming. And the mother comes and starts to run and hug the boy. The boy's like, "Mom, what are you doing in the public? Come on, don't do this. You're embarrassing me." "Stop crying now. No, crying is not the thing here. Whatever you want to do, you go home and do." So he shows his intelligence a little. He says, "Okay, fine, as you wish." Father is a little, anxious. What is this boy doing? Mother is just showing her affection and he is shunning her away. Fine, they go home. And then mother, comes with the arati and does all the arati, and he's like showing faces and all of these things. And says, "Let's go. Food is ready for you." "Mom, please, I have to go take bath. It was a very long journey, and especially I'm back now in India. It is too muggy. I'm sweating. I need to have a fresh bath. Plus, here in India, you don't have standing showers. I'm used to of standing showers. Now I have to sit down too much. And like this, he starts showing all these points. Father is getting furious. I ought to kick his ass with this thinking he's, you know, getting furious. Nothing, the boy goes, takes bath, comes to the table for food. And mother was very excited to serve him all different dishes and all his favorite things that he liked. Served the table, the boy came, sat down. This boy really loved jamun. You know those jamun, the fruit, purple berries. So he loved this. Mother served. Two only left because the season was over. So mother had saved it for the boy. Two left. She places in there, says, son, I know how much jamun you like. There is two of jamun for you. Says to the mom, with his, you know, witty intelligence. Says, mom, there is no two jamun here. There are three. Mom is like, what beta you are telling? There's only two. Father sitting there, he's thinking, one more thing he says, I'm going to go for the stick and beat him up. He's been doing nonsense the whole day. Says, okay, I'll tell you, mom, how it is two. One, two. Two plus one, three. Isn't it? Mom, you know, she's very simple. She's like, okay, you're correct. Dad is not, he's just had it up to here. So he's like, oh, is it so? One plus two, three, okay. He takes one of the jamun, says, mother, you eat this. Takes the second jamun, he himself eats it, and tells the boy, you eat the third one now. So, buddhi we can use in different ways. But the purpose of buddhi is when it comes to help us in our spiritual journey. That is sadbuddhi. How to make use of the wealth to increase the wealth or to give us the pleasure or to give us all, this is what buddhi does. And it finds us many, many different avenues. But sadbuddhi will allow us to utilize that wealth to its utmost purpose. And that is what Adi Shankaracharya ji is telling. As a spiritual seeker, if we want that happiness, if we want that eternal peace, to run after wealth like this is only a foolish thought. But to then use that wealth for right purpose is a means to change that foolishness from us. If you have ever read or heard, Gandhiji has given these seven social sins. I don't know if you know, but there are seven social sins that a person can commit that will affect the society. And one of the sin is wealth without work. If you attain wealth without the right effort, that is a commitment of the greatest sin. And you as a person may think that you are benefited, but as a society, the whole society will be affected by it. That is why it is a social sin, because that wealth that is attained has been taken from somebody else's pocket who may be deserving, and they have not gotten that right. Or the distribution of wealth has become so unbalanced that now even if they are worthy of it, they will not get the access to that wealth. So what should one do with the wealth they have? One sadbuddhi is to use it for a charitable purpose. Use the wealth which selflessly, I'm saying, not having any agenda behind why we offer the charity. That is sadbuddhi. To have an agenda even in giving, then that becomes again selfish. That becomes this idea of the desire. But this is what wealth? This is the wealth that is in access to my needs. I mean, we're not saying that, okay, my bank balance, I will write it off to all the charities that are there and I will become a sannyasi. No, that is not our dharma. Our dharma is we're grihastha. But what I have a need for, if I have an access to that need, that I offer as charity. What is the need? We determine. If I change that need into want, then there is no accumulation ever. Because I will never accumulate beyond the want. Because my want will always continue to increase. But to my need, yes. And any accumulation beyond that need. So need could be family responsibility. Need could be children's education. Need could be, you know, parents' welfare. Need could be family affairs. Need could be, you know, possessions of the property or whatever. But then to say that, you know, I'm going to store this much for these reasons, which are beyond the legitimate need, then they become a bother for us. So use of that accumulation for higher purpose. That is the sadbuddhi to be created. So kuru sadbuddhim manasi vitrishnam. And as we do, that thought of this wealth being the calamity for me goes away and I will be peaceful. Then what to do? Yallabhase nija karmopattam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Nija karmopattam vittam. The wealth which has come from one's own action. Nija, one's own karma action. Yallabhase. That one gets. With that wealth, rejoice. Enjoy. So he is saying to enjoy the wealth. He is not saying don't enjoy the wealth. But he is saying to give up the desire for the wealth. So what does this nija karma mean? So there are two meanings of nija karma. Karma means action. And when I put forth action for righteous purposes, for rightful means, then that becomes a purushartha. For a higher, that which leads me to a higher state. A purushartha can also be done to get me down into the ground more. Like how Ravana did. He also committed so much purushartha. But that purushartha he did brought his destruction. So, if you want to generate wealth through that nija karma, then that is not the purpose here mentioned. So, Adi Shankaracharya ji is not saying, okay, you can generate wealth by committing crimes. That is also nija karma, one's own action. And that actually takes more effort to plan out a robbery. And to make sure that all the aspects of the robberies are perfectly executed. That all requires effort. But that is not the point here. The point is karma done from staying in dharma. And then the wealth that is generated out of that. with that wealth, rejoice. Rejoice to serve the needs, not to serve the wants. And the other meaning of nija karma is prarabdha karma. Whatever the previous actions that I have done, which resulted me certain fruit, that I stay content with. I be happy with that and rejoice in that. So if by prarabdha I have been given a little, learn to be happy with that. Because with purushartha, one can attain more. But because of prarabdha, one will not retain that. Because if prarabdha had already written that we are to have less wealth, you can attain through purushartha. But because of prarabdha, you lose it. So be content with what we have. That becomes the idea. And in that, there is more joy. In that, there is more fun. Because mind is not agitated about fulfilling this and that desire. There are no desires. So whatever I'm using, I'm happy with that. So one last thought before we conclude for today. There was one Brahmin, you know, pakka Brahmin, wearing dhoti, then angavastra on top, putting tilak, upavitam, everything perfect, full Brahmin, but little poor, wealth-wise not much. And then in that same village there was one sate. He was a wealthy person, but he was also known for a lot of charitable work. So this Brahmin was walking by, going to the river, and there in the road, he meets one Devi, Chaturbhuja, four hands, waiting in front of him. And she says to this man, "I am Goddess Lakshmi. I have come here to offer my wealth to the sate who is in your town. I want you to take my message to him," and says, "I would like to enter his house if he so permits." So this Brahmin thinking to himself, "Why don't I get such offers? What have I done so wrong?" But in his mind he thinks, "Okay, I'll go tell the message." He goes to this sate and he says, "Sir, do you know what incident just happened?" He's like, "No, what happened?" "There was Goddess Lakshmi who came sakshat in front of me." "Oh, you are so lucky person, you're meeting Goddess Lakshmi." He says, no, that's not the point. "Goddess Lakshmi has graced herself to come to your house. And she has told that if you permit her to enter your house, she will make you wealthiest person." So this man looks at him and says, "I will allow her to enter if she tells she is daivik or asurik. If the wealth that is there that she is going to give me, is she daivik or is she asurik? Of divine nature or of sinful nature? You go ask her. If she says divine, I will let her enter. If she's not, then tell her to just go away from here. Not even come closer to my house." So he goes and tells. He said, "Are you daivik or asurik? If you are daivik, he will allow you to enter. If you are asurik, no." So this goddess Devi said, "I am of asurik quality." He says, You must go from here. He will not allow you to enter. So then the Devi said, okay, I guess it's his loss. You know, wealth came to him, but he rejected it. So this Brahmin says, but Devi, I am not rejecting you. Why don't you grace me? You give me your wealth. So Devi said, but you have to remember, I am of Asuric quality. Are you okay with that? Oh Devi, I am a simple man. I have very little needs. Whatever little you give me, Devik, Asuric, all will be okay. She says, okay, fine, here it is. And she just lays down a pile of gold in front of him. And this man, out of desire, says, let me just attack. And he just jumps on it, picks it up, and he gets stuck to this wealth. Both his hands are stuck. And he tells this to this Devi, oh Devi, what is happening? I cannot get rid of it. My hands are stuck. He says, I told you, this is Asuric wealth. But what do I do now? I want to be free from this. He says, you have to offer something to become free from this. What can I offer? I have nothing of my own. I am a poor Brahmin. Whatever I earn, I spend on my living. I have a day-to-day life. I don't have a bank account. What will I offer you? There's something you have to offer. He says, I have a gopi chandan in my pocket. I will offer that. He says, fine, you offer that. Can you free one of my hand? So she does. He's able to go reach in his pocket and he puts the gopi chandan and both his hands are free. And then he runs away from there. So what this story tells is, for a Brahmin, the outward nature is just a presentation of the inward sattvicness, the inward tranquility, the peace, the sadhana which generates that strength. That is what Brahmin is. So that chandan is kind of signifying that. When he gave that, that kind of showed that one goes after some Asuric wealth, it drives away your purity. Whatever purity one has generated, all of that has gone now. You have to start from square one. But when it is daivik and you accept it, it doesn't cause us to be bound by that wealth. We're not bound in the cycle. And this is why that man, the sate, he rejected it. And that's what Adi Shankaracharya is saying. With Sadbuddhi, we create daivik wealth for our upliftment. And the foolish, they hold on to even the Asuric wealth, and then they have to lose even the little bit of purity that they have generated. Therefore, we should not succumb to the desires of wealth. Okay. We'll see further in coming weeks. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.